in attendance, Representative Taylor Bruckman, Donley, and Finkelstein from the committee. We also have with us Representative Choquette, the bill sponsor, John Gagin from the Legal Affairs Department, and then Mr. John Hansen from the department. So appreciate you all being here today. Where we left off last week is there were amendments being proposed by committee members. We were on amendment being offered by Representative Donley, amendment number one. Is that my memory correct? Why don't, at this point, we'll, if you could just describe your amendment, we could get the department's response and go from there. We are in teleconference, it's listen only.
Okay. Well, I guess we're going to call it Donley number one then. It is to allow, is to take care of something that is prohibited in existing statute, but we didn't anticipate it being prohibited in the ADA Act. It clearly is prohibited, though, but it's an intended result, is the allowing distributors to distribute to...
I can't hear what he's saying.
Actually, you may have to speak up.
Shut the door, you speak up a little. Please.
To go from distributor to distributor sales, and it would require distributors to report sales to operators, and then the distributors would also require an operator who is also a distributor to sell as a distributor to others besides themselves. In other words, you couldn't have closely held 100% of their business.
Can you show us what your menu looks like?
So, this one.
We're going to call this amendment number 11, just to stick with our previous system. So amendment number one is amendment number 11.
Right. This one is easy, that's it.
And now it's 11?
Yeah. Just bump it up there. So what this would do is say that no more than 50% of your business could be to someone who's closely related to you as a distributor. But you could distribute to other people. And this basically is to address some concerns that were raised out of the department. If distributors just sold to themselves or to somebody else who was closely financially related to them or personally related to them, there's some audit problems there and tax collection problems, and this should address that.
Any, does Department, John, Department want to add anything on this one?
We support this amendment.
Okay, great. Any other comments by any committee members?
Which amendment are you talking about?
Amendment number 11, which is amendment number one by Donley.
Mr. Chairman, I might further state that in June of 90, we attempted to do this provision through a regulation, and the Attorney General's office informed us that it had to be done through a statute change. So it's something that we've recognized in the past and look forward to getting it.
Mr. Chairman. Representative Choquette.
The sponsor considers this a friendly amendment. As a point of clarification, in Section 3, the letter H should be changed to the letter I. We already have an H in the bill.
Okay. Any further discussion? Is there the motion been made by Representative Donley to adopt the amendment? Is there objection to adopt the amendment? Hearing no objection, so adopted. Next one, we'll call number 12, number 2 by Donley. The next page in your attachments. If you could describe it for me.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This amendment would require permittees to designate at least one member in charge and one alternate member in charge who are required to be knowledgeable about state gaming laws. And it would be proof that knowledge would be that they pass an exam that would be conducted by the department, developed and conducted by the department about the statutes and the regulations. Currently, we don't have alternate members in charge, and it seems like it'd be a really good idea to have somebody, a second person, a backup designated in case the member in charge was to quit the organization or to leave or anything else. And there's a lot of problems with people understanding these laws. They just don't take the time to read the laws and read the regs. And this would be, I think, really help the department a lot if the members in charge had to actually show that they actually read the statutes and read the regulations to understand it. So I guess I'll move the amendment. John?
It also, Section 6 also requires operators to take an exam.
Where in here do we set up the exam? Where do we say what the exam is supposed to cover?
The exam would cover the regulations and the statutes that apply to charitable gaming and would be developed and administered by the Division of Occupational Licensing, which is where gaming rests now.
I guess what I'm asking is sort of a drafting question. Do we have to in here state anywhere that they're going to develop this?
Yes, this paragraph 6 on the second page of the amendment. Test formulated by the department on the contents of this chapter and the regulations adopted under this chapter and administered by the department at least 4 times a year.
What's a natural person?
A natural person is a living being as opposed to a corporation, which is considered a person under the law, but is not a natural person.
Okay, so that's the difference. Natural person is a person.
Exactly.
So I guess the question for John Dean, there's no necessity for us to... For us to authorize them to establish this test just by making reference to it in the requirements here.
Yeah, it says a test formulated by the department. I think that clearly instructs the department to. And then the last section, the transitional section, says DCED shall prepare the test required by Section 3 and 6.
Any other discussion on amendment number? Taylor?
Yeah, I am concerned about the test, I guess, to the extent that we set up these various hurdles and tests for people to pass and take, and what you're really talking about as a permittee is every single nonprofit out there that's going to get a permit, whether it's the Girl Scouts or whoever it is, somebody within their ranks is going to have to apply for, pay a fee, take a test, and then pass the test before they're going to get back in business, right?
That's correct.
I mean, I understand the department's concerns about the level of knowledge that may be out there, but I guess my frustration is that all you have to have is that one person or the backup person not be available or move or die, get transferred, whatever. All of a sudden, the charitable group's back in the same bucket again, trying to find out when they can get the test taken and wait 2 or 3 months. And, to me, that's kind of a hassle, and I'm just concerned about that.
On that point, Mr. Chairman, the amendment provides for a 6-month period of time for the charity to designate a new member in charge who was eligible, who had passed the test. In case they lose their existing people, don't have any backups, or everybody leaves, let's say, so they've got nobody left who's passed this test, then they get 6 months grace period to get somebody in there to pass.
Yeah. I guess my only concern is that I think it's an additional impediment. We've been operating this system for a lot of years now without anybody passing any tests. I guess I need further convincing that it's necessary. John?
The Chair, Mr. Representative Taylor. In that regards, I just wanted to explain when we look at these things in this industry, we always look at how other people do it. One of the states, Washington, is one of the ones that has charitable gaming pretty well down. And the way they handle this is they have a 3-day course that they require every employee in any capacity to take, and then they give them a written examination. We're not going for that 3-day course with this amendment, but if you could see financial statements that we have filed and the lack of knowledge from the majority of the people that are involved in this thing, that are responsible for literally hundreds of thousands of dollars that can't account for those funds, you would really appreciate this amendment as I do. There's complications in just getting the application filled out properly. And we're not going to make this a college examination, but basic facts on what they should be required to do, particularly in the aspect of record keeping for the receipts, and that they acknowledge the fact that they have to have a separate gaming account and they have to pay for things with a check. Some basic bookkeeping, nothing dramatic, but we do need to get the message out, and I think the test is a good way to do it. It puts the burden on the department to make sure that those people pass that test, and we can go out there and educate them. Mm-hmm. And along those lines, this amendment, although we didn't contemplate it when we wrote our original fiscal note, I don't believe we're going to require an additional position to do this. If you give me these positions that we have in this original note, we'll get this test done. And we'll get the education out there. So we're not going to make an increase in requests for positions to do this amendment. This is a responsibility that we have already that we should be able to bring about.
Representative Choquette?
Mr. Chairman, sponsor considers this to be a friendly amendment. However, in Section 8 of Amendment Number 12, Representative Donnelly, I want to make sure that Section 8 deals only with this amendment and not with the entire act, the entire bill. And the entire bill is scheduled to take effect immediately. And Section 8, you're saying, that takes effect January 1st, 1993. And that pertains only to your amendment. Is that correct? It doesn't pertain to the bill.
That should be. It should just be referring to the amendment. And because Section 7, see, Section 8 refers to Section 7, which is the transitional provision, right?
Just a point of clarification, Mr. Chairman. The intention of the bill is that it take effect immediately. You're giving them time to do the...
It's a split effective date. All right. Multiple effective dates.
All right.
Well, actually, I'm glad you brought that up. I'm a little confused now. I'm a little confused now on, we start down Section 7, and Section 6 states that this statute is amended to read, and etc. Then you get to Section 7, and it doesn't say add a new section as follow or amend the existing section. It just says transitional provision. It seems like it needs to say... I mean, don't we have some effective dates in here already?
Yeah.
And isn't this a replacement or a addition?
Yeah. I did not draft this amendment in the form of the unamendment, and I think that's why the effective date clause does need revising, and I'll revise it appropriately if this amendment's adopted.
Yeah. So I do think as it's written, it does say the whole act doesn't take effect.
Yeah, that's true.
We'll note that, and that'll be corrected if this amendment is adopted.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Then, John, the effective date clause in the bill with this exception won't change.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Any other discussion on what's Amendment Number 12? Okay, is there a motion to adopt this amendment?
So moved.
Is there an objection to adopt this amendment? Hearing none, it's so adopted. Okay, let's go on to Amendment Number 13, which is shorter at least.
Well, could I refer to my staff here, because I'm getting confused here, and sorry about that, but Mr. Chairman, could I have Becky Bear address this?
I'm sure.
Okay. Well, we can do that last. We're doing them in order here.
Okay. Amendment number 3, was our amendment number 3, was adopted by the committee at our last meeting.
Now, let's just make sure we understand
okay.
it.
And that was the NAGRA standards, and that was accepted by the committee at your last meeting.
And do you remember which amendment that was?
I think what staff is thinking of, Mr. Chairman, is the proposal that dealt with the municipalities and that we did adopt at the very end of the last meeting. But this is different. So, Mr. Chairman, I guess explain Amendment Number 3. This would adopt standards that have been established by the North American Gaming Regulators Association and as their time to time as the standard for pull tabs in Alaska. I believe this is the one preferable to the department. At the time of the Act, we adopted the NAFTA standards, which subsequently I discovered were kind of the lowest common denominator standards that were out there. We thought we had found a good national standard, but it wasn't. That was the bunch of manufacturers got together, and the one that was the worst was the standard they adopted. And this is a higher standard that I believe is being used in Washington State now, and I think is a preferable standard, and so I'd move Amendment number 3.
John, what's your feeling on this?
Well, we concur completely with this amendment. And, just as a point of interest, I'm a member of the National Gaming Regulators Association, and it is a North American association. We have members from Canada and also members from the industry themselves. And the NAFTA industry, which is comprised of 10 manufacturers, worked with the regulators in adopting these standards, and it's industry friendly from the manufacturer standpoint too. Many states have adopted these requirements, and they're geared up for states that will do likewise.
Okay. I have one comment. This is more for John Hagen. It seems to me we need to hear something like shall be consistent as to a large extent as possible, consistent with existing law, because if we're saying that department regulations adopted by the department shall be consistent with standards. Well, what happens if those standards conflict with the statutes? Maybe it's inherent that they can't follow the standards anymore.
That would be inherent. The department could never issue regulations inconsistent with it if there was a flat inconsistency with the statute.
So you don't see any necessity for some language like that?
No.
Any other comments on Amendment number 13? Okay, is there objection, Amendment number 13? Okay, hearing no objection, Amendment number 13 is adopted. Amendment number 14, which is Amendment number 4 by Dave Donnelly.
I have a substitute Amendment number 4, Mr. Chairman. Working with the department and first we were informed that we needed to do some drafting revisions, so this one that I'm handing out now is the one I'd like to move this Amendment number 4. When we did the 88 Act, basically we were addressing bingo activity, and it was a pretty bold step because we put the 15% in for the very first time. We had a minimum in terms of charities for these type of operations, and subsequently I think that we could increase that 15%, and I think that 20% would still be a reasonable number to increase the return to the charities, and that's the first thing that this amendment would do for bingo operations. The second thing it would do would be address something that's evolved since the 88 Act, and that's pull tab parlors and specific locations where they have a storefront, and what they do with that storefront is sell pull tabs. And since they have such a much lower overhead than bingo operations, this would create a higher percentage of return to the charities from those type of operations. And then subsequently, there's other types of activities that are outside those, all the other types of charitable games that we authorize, and this would adopt a 50% return to the charities if they're run by an operator. I'd also intend to introduce a subsequent amendment, and maybe I could just incorporate it as part of this one on page 6, line 25, and that's to revise the return to the charities there from third-party vendor operations from 60 to 70%.
Why don't we deal with the two separate amendments for now?
Okay. So amendments to what?
Just to make it simpler.
I'm confused. I'm really confused.
Now we're just talking about operators here.
Right.
Maybe, John, do you have any thoughts? John Hanson, do you have any thoughts on from the department's perspective on this approach to operators?
First of all, any amendment that increases the net to a permittee, we support. This particular approach, there's a lot of different ways to get around this. In this particular approach, from our perspective, recognizes that different types of operations have different types of overhead. And perhaps that is a legitimate way to recognize that through offering a different percentage requirement to the permittee. There might be other means to accomplish this simpler, perhaps not as fair, if we can use that word, to bingo hall operators that have larger overheads. We don't oppose this. And in anything that recognizes more money to the permittees, we support.
Questions to the lab?
Yeah, I'm just trying to understand. We did, the first amendment was to go from 15 to 20% into from 25, well, I see back to 20.
Yeah,
this
yeah,
amendment,
we're
at 20.
We're only looking at the
15's left alone. I don't understand what the real ramification of the amendment is.
Okay, and just we're just going to talk about the this one we're calling 14 now.
That's
is
the only one I'm talking about.
Okay. Yeah, dated 4391.
I'm talking about the one that was submitted, the original, the one that the amended amendment.
Right, and I think and the only one we had offered is the, is the amended amendment. Just for the sake we don't get more confused. Representative Donnelly.
Okay. The first provision says that if you are operating, you're an operator, and your primary method of activity is through a bingo hall, then your the amount that you're going to be required to return to a charity is going to go up 5%, from 15 to 20%. Okay, so your guaranteed return to the charities has to increase by 5% if you're running a bingo hall. Section B says that addresses something we've never addressed before, and that's if you have a pull-tab parlor or a pull-tab storefront, then you have to return at least 50% of the adjusted gross income to the charity, to the permittee that you're operating on their behalf if you're an operator. Okay. And finally, C says that if you're an operator and you're conducting other types of games for a charity, which might be raffles or other types of activities that the department may authorize, or there's other things in the statutes and regs also, types of forms of games, salmon classics, then you'd have to return at least 50% of the adjusted gross income to the charity if you're doing that on their behalf.
Well, where did we come up with numbers that the guy in the pull tab operation or the salmon classic could afford 50% of his adjusted gross income, but the bingo parlor guy could only afford 20? Where did those come from?
Representative Donnelly.
Sure. The overhead for having a bingo hall and bingo operation is much greater than the overhead for running a pull tab parlor. There's many more employees that are necessary. It's a lot. It's a much more complicated form of activity. And that's one of the reasons we set it at 15% in 1988. And these other types of activities, particularly the pull tab parlors, came along subsequent to that. We never anticipated them being created in 1988. Or I, for one, would have advocated it, some sort of sliding scale like this, addressing the return to the charities being greater because their overhead is so much less.
Before we take in a comment, I just want to make sure we've gotten straight out. Any other questions on that? Because I do have a question, too, on Section C. I didn't realize salmon classics would fall under this.
Only if they were being run by an operator. See, this doesn't apply when most salmon classics, I imagine, are run by the permittees themselves. But
correct.
Is that
that's correct?
Is there just a question for Mr. Hansen while we're on this? On C, is there anything that falls under this under C as a regular on a regular basis now?
I don't believe we're licensing an operator. Well, no, actually, there is.
Yeah.
No, that's not done by an operator. That's done by themselves. I'm just thinking of, that's within a bingo hall. There are other games besides bingo and pull tabs that are played in a bingo hall that an operator does. this section would apply to.
Well, like the throwing a dart at a revolving...
Right, but that would be under section A of the bill, of the amendment. So, no, I'm not aware of anything that an operator is conducting for a permittee other than pull tabs and bingo.
So all we're really doing with C is just being careful in a sense so that there's some standard for whatever new comes along down the road.
Yeah, that's correct.
Representative Choquette.
Mr. Chairman, I'm having a tough time understanding what this has to do with a vendor bill or the intent of the bill here is a relationship between the nonprofits and third-party vendors. A operator on Section C, for example, does this refer to vendor sales? I've got a real hard time understanding how you can assume that a bingo hall would have a higher overhead than a standalone pull tab sales. A pull tab operation or a standalone operation, you know, you don't sell Cokes and Pepsis.
Right,
you don't have a way that a bingo parlor pulls in a lot more money than a standalone. I just have a lot of problems with this, Mr. Chairman.
Well, if you're talking about just a permittee operating with a third-party vendor, is that what you're making reference to here? In that case, we're getting to the Second Amendment, and maybe for the sake of understanding this whole picture before we act on any part of it, why don't you offer that as an amendment to the amendment, or just attach it for now as part of this amendment, and we can vote it all down if you don't like it. Now, Representative Choquette, the second part is going to apply these same kind of provisions to the third-party vendors. So why don't you describe what the conceptual...
Yeah, the second part of the amendment would be on page 6, line 25 of the bill. That would just be to change the percentage there, 60% to 70%. That's where the guaranteed return to charities that their permits are being operated by third-party vendors is contained. Not in this original amendment. So that... This amendment doesn't address third-party vendor situation. That's correct.
Okay, so for the sake of our process here, we're going to consider this as an amendment to the amendment, since it does have other aspects to it. Let's just talk now about this amendment. This is upping the requirements vendors have got to give to the upping within this bill. That is the requirements that vendors have to give to the permittee. And I assume the department's position still applies of the higher the percent, the happier you are.
Absolutely.
Makes it simple.
Well, I guess that's why I'm kind of wondering why we're backing off here at 20% on a bingo hall. It looks to me like that bingo hall can afford a lot more than that 20%.
Well, Representative, I think we're going to have that. We started the discussion, and we're going to have the discussion because we're going to have to decide that question. Let's, for now, try to deal with this extra. That's the operator issue we have in this original amendment. Now we've got an amendment to the amendment.
We'll be back to it.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It's sort of confusing to me, too.
Yes, this is the amendment to the amendment.
But just to restate the amendment, it's page 6, line
25,
change 60% to 70%. On that issue, Representative Donnelly.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On that issue, I think we should try to maximize the return to charities as much as possible within the marketplace and still allow the activity to be economically viable. One of the reasons that I think this higher percentage is needed is because of all the classes of gaming that's going on, the third-party vendor situation presents the absolute lowest low overhead for the person that's acting on behalf of a permittee. In other states, we've had I believe in the members' information packets, there's examples that are presented by the department citing what's done in other states. Other states where they have commissioned lottery tickets, the people who sell the lottery tickets for the state are getting 5% of the price of the ticket as their commission. Here we're still allowing 30% of the amount of the activity, the price of the gaming. The price of the pull tab to stay with the vendor. And I think that's more than enough, frankly, because of several things. Number one, because I think they can make a lot of money keeping 30%. And number two is they get an economic benefit of this attractive gambling activity actually drawing in business. And also the fact that a lot of our really charitable and public service-oriented merchants out there have for years sold these for charities for no profit. Don't make any money off the deal. Just give, turn all the proceeds over to charity. And ideally, that's the way I always thought it should work. But if people feel they got to make money off the deal, I think 30% is a pretty good cut.
Representative Choquette. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If we're discussing right now the amendment that changes line 25, page 6, obviously I have no problems with that, and neither does the state. The question is, we've made it clear that it should be an option available to the private nonprofits to choose to directly associate themselves with a third-party vendor or to go through an operator. So if you're splitting this amendment, as I understand it, to where this is the first part, there'll be no objections from me, and I would consider that to be friendly. It would be the second part of the amendment as to the percentage to the operators that I have some concerns about.
Okay, so let's just stick on this one for now. I guess the question is, to Representative Donnelly, we could just adopt this amendment as amendment number 15. And then go back to yours. It seems all fit together. I hate to get bogged down.
That's fine with me.
Okay, well,
let's
to make our life easier here, let's call this now, we're talking about the change of page 6, line 25, which, let me ask again, is there anyone have objections to that particular change, apart from the operator change? Representative Donnelly. Representative Taylor, excuse me.
Well, again, I don't know, because I don't know whether or not the economics are there. I've heard a lot of I thinks, but I haven't seen any numbers. I haven't heard from any operators. I don't know how the business works.
Yeah, we haven't heard from any vendors.
So as a consequence, I don't know whether 60 to 70 is a fair change or not. I really don't. I don't know what they're currently doing.
Mr. Hanson.
Through Chair Representative Taylor, through numerous hearings, lots of comment from both vendors, operators, and committees. There is a standard out there, and it's somewhere between 25% and 50%. And I've used the number 30% quite often in various committee meetings. And my own personal experience, I believe that they can live with 30% and still do quite well with that. And I believe that if we have an industry standard, that is it.
I'd hate to be in the shoe business and have somebody in the legislature decide how much profit I needed to make on a pair of shoes, I suppose, based on, well, I think they can live with it.
If you look at the fact that we're not increasing the overhead of that bar at all, or liquor store, and that this is, in fact, it does a lot more than just sell a game. It's a commercial stimulant. A lot of people go play these things in those bars and consume alcohol and whatnot because those tabs are there. And currently, many bar owners are selling these tabs voluntarily just to have them in there.
Okay, but we're talking here about if you operate a permit to your operator with a vendor.
Right.
Would get permit, or the operator would get 70%.
Right. So if it was an operator run thing under the other amendment, the operator would be able to keep 20%. So this gives the operator 20%.
Yeah.
Vendor gets 30, permittee gets the rest.
No, that's apart from the.
Yes.
Okay, I'm sorry. We had a chart, Mr. Chairman, that was all ready to give out, and it was a good chart. And it really got to the bulk of the situation and split it out under what scenario, bingo parlor, directly working with a third-party vendor, operator, pull tabs, or other. And unfortunately, it's now all outdated. But I will give it to you, Representative Taylor, in just a second. It does put it into perspective.
I do. I should note, these percentages are, I think, clearly one of the key issues in the whole gaming laws, and I think we're going to get, you know, through the whole committee process and judiciary before we get to the floor and the other body, we're going to get tons of input on it. It wouldn't surprise me, regardless of whether we adopt this amendment from 60 to 70, that we won't see it bounce around a few more times. And I'd expect probably an amendment on the floor as well on this, as well as other subjects. Since I guess, although I'm not, I can't pretend that 70% is the right figure, I'm willing to live with it for now and, you know, look at the later input and decide what to do. We're certainly doing our best to up the amount to charities, which is our main motivation here. So
I guess I could take a guess, too. And my guess is that bingo parlors could operate by paying out 30% of adjusted gross. And I got numbers to throw that on. So it's not just I think. And I'll tell you what, I'll swap you 30% on bingo for your extra 10% here on the van door.
Well.
Wow.
That's fair.
Well, then compromise, Friday.
Let's, we can take them up in either order, but we're going to have to take them up one at a time. So it's going to be tough to swap. At this point, we're trying to take up 15 first, then 14. If you want to take up 14, then 15, I don't have any preference.
Doesn't matter to me.
At this point, though, we're just trying to resolve the 60 to 70, which is amendment number 15. Then we'll go back to amendment number 14. So is there objection, still objection on changing 60 to 70 in amendment number 15? Okay, no objection. That's adopted. Now we're back on amendment number 14. And Representative Donnelly and then Representative Taylor.
Yeah, I guess I'll speak to Representative Taylor's suggestion on amendment number 14. I agree that there are parts of the state where bingo could be run at a 25% margin successfully. There are other parts of the state where it couldn't. It's evolved in different sectors, in different geographical locations, different ways. And this is just a start up. And I think in Anchorage, there's only like one operator that I know of is making this cut just barely now at about 21%. The others are below. So this would be a big impact on Anchorage. It wouldn't be as big an impact on some other communities where bingo's evolved in a different manner and the profit ratio is higher. So this would be a shock to the economy and the bingo gaming in Anchorage. It wouldn't be as big an impact in other parts of the state. That's true.
Well, the only report I've got here is on the Anchorage Bingo Parlor for their 1990 annual report, and they paid 29% of their adjusted gross.
Well, I'm really surprised about that.
They made $16 million gross. They had $3.3 million adjusted gross, and the net proceeds that were paid out to the nonprofits was $1 million.
Oh, well.
Which meant they had $2.3 million left over for their operating expense after paying out the total in net proceeds paid.
I haven't seen that particular document, but could I ask one question? Mr. Hansen, are you familiar with that document?
Excuse me, that's one thing.
It's filed with his department.
Right. I was wondering if that reflects just bingo income, or does that also reflect...
Oh, this is the annual report, which is combined for all gaming activities.
So it reflects the profit from pull tabs and bingo played at the bingo parlor.
That's correct, and other activities that they conduct there.
Right. I think that's the distinction, Representative Taylor.
Where would I find a breakout?
I can provide you that breakout. This is attached to this is a rather extensive report that has, we require each operator and committee to separately account for each gaming activity by activity. So these gross numbers have a breakout schedule that talks about which is bingo, what is pull tabs, and what are the other activities. I'd be happy to provide you. We have an annual report that I believe is part of your packet that has that gaming activity broken down by gross and expenses for each of those activities. It's in your summary.
That's in bulk, though.
Right, it's cumulative.
I guess I have a question for you, John. What this is all about is the relative overhead, the relative competitiveness and costs of bingo halls and pull tabs. What's your feeling, just based on your experience, on the relative figures that are reasonable, considering the difference between the two?
Well. Clearly, a bingo hall has a marked overhead because of the additional labor and the actual square footage that it requires and the equipment costs related to number is, I don't know, but there is less overhead in conducting pull tab sales. And this approach is one approach. Another approach is to look at each type of activity and put an expense amount on each type of activity. Other states do it in a little bit more simpler form. They say, permittee, you're going to be allowed X amount for expenses no matter how you sell systems or how you conduct them. That's an approach that I've used in some proposed regulations that we've gone to hearing with. And if this issue isn't addressed through the legislature this year, we intend to adopt those regulations. And they set the amount of expenses attributable to pull tab games to be limited to 40% in any scenario. That's a little simpler approach. It doesn't have the equality measure that this type of amendment does. It just flat out says a permittee is allowed to expense off 40% for expenses that they can pay their operator, they can pay the vendor, or they can pay their employees, but the rest of it's going to be used as net proceeds. That's how other states approach this problem. And I have a little sheet here. I'm not sure if you've been provided that. That talks about that. I hope that doesn't clutter this issue any more than it is, but there is definitely an increase in overhead in conducting bingo as opposed to simply selling pull tabs. And my expense approach was related just to pull tabs and setting a fixed amount of expenses that could be deducted from the pull tab game.
President Shokai.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If you'll read the title of this bill, and I would bring it to the chairman of this committee's attention that this bill is the longest title that was read across the floor this year. It nowhere mentions bingo. It nowhere mentions operators. I would reiterate once again that this bill is a bill that deals with the relationship between private nonprofits and third-party vendors. And I would like to also reiterate that these amendments do not belong on this bill. This bill does not deal with operators, nor does it deal with bingo halls. I believe that Representative Donnelly's amendments have some merit, but they do not have merit on this bill, and I question whether you can even put them in this bill given the title, but then it was my first bill, and I'm not so sure that legislative drafting understand it when we asked them to put a title real tight that wouldn't allow this very type of thing to happen.
Look, I actually had this misunderstanding in 89 when my first chance to get a bill on the floor. It isn't, the process you're talking about doesn't affect what we do. Whatever the title is totally changed. So regardless of what you personally would like to have the bill cover, when it's on the floor, anyone can offer an amendment on anything. They can offer it on darts and Valdez. They can offer it on, virtually anything. Because all they do is if they have a title change that goes along with it, the scenario you're talking about applies when it gets over to the other body. Then there's a title. Then they're stuck with the title. Then they've got to try to live within that title. But as much as you or I or anyone else would like to confine the discussion to something, you can advocate for that as your belief is that it's good policy to limit to that. And I generally agree, though, you know, we're getting into an area where it's hard not to run over to other things. But
players in this bill, we all know that there's some very powerful forces at work here. There's a number of lobbyists that have concerns, and the situation that I'm looking at is quite simply, this bill is for the nonprofit organizations and third-party vendors, and if all of a sudden something gets put into this bill to where we've lost the support of the entire consensus group, including Mr. Hansen, we've lost the bill, and we've lost the intent, and we've lost the basic reason that this bill was introduced, and that's to get money to charities when the state is continuing to reduce the block grants. And that's simply my point. At some point in time when these amendments, the rest, I can go along with 1, 2, 3, and I can probably go along with 5 of Representative Donnelly's amendments. But amendment number 4 is going to create some opposition. It's going to create some opposition from people that, quite frankly, are very active in the lobbying scene, and that have a situation in front of them that they're, it's going to be to their best interest to kill this bill. They're not going to be heard on this. The other operators aren't going to be heard on this. What's going to be heard on this is the charities and the nonprofits and their ability to work with third-party vendors, Mr. Chairman. And my concern is simply that if we do this, we're all going to lose. This bill might be a very good bill, but it doesn't belong tacked to House Bill 168. If there's any chance at all that this is what's going to kill the bill, because the bill was not intended to put any of the forces opposing each other. The bill was drafted with all of the parties at the table. The bill was drafted so it would work for everybody. And that's my concern, Mr. Chairman.
I share your concern on the trying to address the third-party vendor thing, but the issues aren't completely separable. You've got to understand that. And Representative Donnelly and all others, members of the committee, can make any things they do to try to establish an equitable system. And the only, that's the nature of the system. The next committee this bill goes to is Representative Donnelly's committee. Obviously, he can offer it there as well. There's going to be 7 new people there who are going to go through the same process, and they're going to say, based on what we know, what's an equitable way to deal with the amount going to charities? And, you know, although I have sympathies and I'm out there agreeing with you, I think we ought to try to deal with the third-party vendor problem. Once you start changing the amounts that go to charities, it's hard not to look at operators as well. I mean, it's very hard not to do that.
Let's not change the amounts to charities.
Mr. Chairman, let's not change the amounts to charities. Let's stay with the 60%.
We don't have 60% in existing law.
We just changed from 60 to 70%. Representative Taylor had a concern about that. If you're thinking that we're amending House Bill 168 by increasing the...
What I'm comparing, Representative Choquette, is the status quo to what would happen after this law passed. And we are going in, you know, anyone can correct me if I'm wrong here, we are going in and modifying the amount that goes to charities in the case of third-party vendors, are we not? So we've opened up the area of what is the proper amount. I don't know what the proper amount is, and as I said, I don't have any magical thing, but we are clearly changing that. We're changing the amount of money that goes to charities under charitable gaming. And, you know, we're doing it with one entity. It's hard not to do it with other entities that are involved in the process.
Would Representative Donnelly consider another bill to deal with operators in Bengal and let this go on the merits of its intention?
I guess since the beginning of, not this year, but last year, I've been saying that I'd like to see legislation that was comprehensive on this subject, including Amendment number 14, which is before us, come over from the other body.
Mr. Chairman, it's been stated very clearly to this committee that unless something is adopted this year, the private nonprofit corporations are going to be out a lot. The purpose of this bill is to pass both houses and be signed by the governor before the session closes this year. I'm very concerned that we hit roadblocks that won't allow that to happen. The governor and the Department of Commerce and Economic Development have both stated that they will put into effect emergency regulations which will not allow for third-party vendors to be contracting with, will not allow for the private nonprofit corporations to be contracting with third-party vendors. And that's the bulk of this bill. And my concerns are just this. There will be a lot of very, very disappointed nonprofits and a lot of very, very poor nonprofits if this bill doesn't pass.
And I guess the point I'm trying to get across to you is that the best thing this committee can do to achieve that is to pass on a bill. Mm-hmm. And that's about really all it comes down to. It doesn't matter what exactly the percentages this committee does, because they're going to get reconsidered in judiciary, they're going to get reconsidered in finance, and on the floor I can guarantee you there's going to be amendments on these things. You're going to be standing up, and your best argument isn't going to be, you can't do this to my bill. You know, my bill is intended to do something else. You can make that argument, but the most compelling argument is going to be why it's a bad idea, or why, you know, the existing part of the bill is a good idea. That one is what's going to be needed to carry the day. You're going to have to justify why it is that we're going to have this particular setup with percentages. People are going to have a hard time understanding. Our committee's taken now 6 or 7, and we're, you know, finally getting to the point where we understand it. That battle is inevitable regardless of what we're doing, and all we're trying to do as this committee is keep holding these hearings as long as necessary so we can get something out so the process continues on. That's what I think our role is. Not, you know, we're not pretending to have every piece of this thing right, but it's, you aren't going to be able to escape it. It's going to be there. It's going to be there in the committees. It's going to be there on the floor, and you just got to keep arguing, you know, and keep pushing to get it moved along so that those, you know, votes do occur. Representative Bruckman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would just encourage this committee to continue work on this. I agree with the chairman's comments, and I think this bill is a quick fix to a problem. I do want to see the nonprofit agencies have funding, but it's a faction of the entire gambling issue that I think the legislature at some point in time will have to look at. And when we break things down to bits and pieces, this is already a bit or a piece of the whole picture. And if we do want to move it through, I would encourage us to continue our work right now and incorporate all the aspects of it. I would like to see all parties that are involved in it, including the operator.
Representative Taylor?
Oh, I swear to God, I didn't know that. Well, let us get back to what we're talking about. We've got an amendment in front of us. And the amendment, as it currently reads, is Section A, 20, Section B, 50. And I don't know what Section C was, but the one I've got has been written over, and it now says 52. Just the amendment process, from what I can tell, has changed numbers here about 3 times in 2 days, trying to dance around and get the right number here. I haven't seen any information to me that justifies 50% on the poll tabs. It looks to me like that angry bingo parlor is making one heck of a fine profit. I'd like to have business like that myself. It's drug in $2.3 million to run one bingo parlor or two bingo parlors off of. I think I could make a fair profit off of that. And I guess my concern at this point is the same as the sponsors. I don't want to see it loaded up with a bunch of extraneous matters on that are going to in some way interfere with it. Personally, if we're going to jump the pull tabbers up to 50%, I'd just soon see the bingo parlors go to 30. And, yeah, I know it costs a little more to run a bingo parlor, but it obviously is a hell of a moneymaker, too. Obviously.
Representative Donnelly.
Well, I understand the concerns of the prior speaker. A lot of the same concerns. That's why I'm proposing the increase here. I guess what we're really discussing is the feedback I'm getting is whether it should be 20% or higher. And I'm saying this is a step in the right direction, and certainly going to send a message to the industry that we'd like to see them look at their return ratio there. They've been at 15% for 3 years now. Where the rest of this bill is all basically, other than the operators who run pull tab parlors, outside the scope of what the statutes have previously authorized. So we're dealing with one of the few areas here where we've actually had people operating within the law at the 15% level, and we're going to be increasing that. Where the other aspects of the bill are addressing things that are newly authorized by law.
Well, I think it's tough to get a breakdown, Dave, on this thing. I'll make you bet these guys aren't paying much more than 15% on that bingo operation up there, and the remainder of this percentile is coming out of their other gaming activities. They're paying a total gross, out of their adjusted gross, of 29%, leaving that kind of a profit left over, or I should say a value left over for their operation and profits. If they were paying even close to 50% on their other operations, they'd probably be somewhere above that number.
I think Representative Taylor's right. What we've got is this industry is developed in a way where bingo is the lost leader, is the attraction to get people to come in and play pull tabs. And that's why I think it's important that we structure it in this manner, because they actually, the money, the
they actually lose money or make very little money at the bingo operations.
Mr. Chairman, I'm asking once again not to take this issue up. It's going to Representative Donnelly's committee. It's obviously going to be a product of much conversation in Representative Donnelly's committee. If a bingo parlor, well, I not had a problem with this bill to date until this minute. And I think that the person or what happens as a reality, and this legislature goes home and we don't have a bill for the third-party vendors and the charities, is just basically going to have to live with that. And I'll work as close as I can with Representative Donnelly in judiciary, because it's obviously his amendment. It's obviously got some problems as far as the sponsor is concerned. And I'd like some more time, and I'd like to also get this bill out of this committee today, if it be the chairman's wishes.
Let me put a question to Representative Donnelly. Is there any potential? I think we are stuck getting into percentages, you know, at some point along the way, but I'm not sold that these are particularly the right ones. Is there any compromise on these that would at least,
Let me give us something to vote on. Mr. Chairman, I'll move that we rescind our action in adopting amendment number 13 or 14, we went from 60 to 70.
15.
Well, I guess
I assume there's objection. Conversation on it is I submit that playing with percentiles at this point is something I don't feel comfortable with. I think it does a disservice to the legislation at this point. And by removing that, then I'll indicate to you that I intend to vote no on the next amendment, and therefore it should not pass unless we're going to drag some more committee members in here. But that way we'll take those out. They can be taken up.
Representative Donnelly.
I like amendment number 15. I'm opposed to repealing it.
And I'm going to vote against rescinding too, but it doesn't take away from the points that Representative Taylor's making on amendment number 14, because amendment number 14 is operators. Amendment number 15 is third-party vendors. You might.
Okay, I just wanted to clean the whole thing up. We're going to do it at one time. Let's take them all out.
I don't think we haven't. I think amendment 15 doesn't have the controversy amendment 14 does. Could you withdraw your motion to rescind?
So withdraw.
Okay. Amendment number 14, to back on a question, Representative Donnelly, is whether there's any place here that he sees a possibility of compromising to find something this committee could agree to. Well, recognizing that your committee is going to be playing with figures as well. So.
Well, recognizing Representative Taylor's, the discussion really focuses around the 20%, because I think I've heard Representative Taylor I hate to put other words in other people's mouths, so I apologize if I'm doing it. That if that was brought up a little bit, it might justify the increases in other spots. And it's just that the information that I'm getting from the industry is that that's going to be a big step up from 15 to 20%. And that might not be accurate, but that's the information I've got. And I couldn't raise my hand and swear that it was the truth, but it's what I have been informed of. And I think it's a step forward. And from all the hours and hours and hours and hours and like eight committees we went through to establish the 15%, we went through a lot of numbers at that time. And, the testimony, we finally came down to the 15% as something we thought was realistic. And I'm making the jump now by proposing this up higher than that. And I don't know, maybe if this was to pass in the next committee, I might advocate for more if I was to get new information. I certainly understand, and, I really appreciate the discussion.
Mr. Chairman?
Yeah.
Representative, okay.
There's also, if this can pass to judiciary, which is the next committee of referral, also likely that we can better understand Representative Donnelly's proposals and get some type of a uniform agreement.
Representative Taylor.
I'm not any further call a question.
But I guess back before we do that, do you feel, Representative Donnelly, that there's anything I don't want our actions construed by Representative Choquette to be some attempt to undo the bill. I guess what I've been trying to say along is that regardless of what we do, the next committee is going to be talking about the same thing. It doesn't matter where it starts out of this committee. The same issue is going to get debated again. Only what I'm trying to do is make sure that this proceeds to that committee. Whatever vote occurs there is going to be what determines the fate of this particular approach. Obviously, it'll be offered, and I just want you to realize that. It's been tough enough to get this far along in the game, and I don't want to bog down over one particular provision. So. And I still, I guess, there, Representative Donald, you didn't, there isn't any place here among the 20 and the 50 that you think we could find a way to modify these.
We haven't been offered.
No, I'm asking him for his advice.
At this point in time, I'm convinced that it's the right thing to do the way it is. Believe me, it'd be an easy thing for me to do right now. Say, well, let's just add 5%. Let's pick this 25%. That'd be a compromise. But that was my original proposal. And in meeting with people in the industry, I was convinced that that would be too big a jump at this time. And I believed them. And I want to get this up as high as possible here. And I just, the best information I've got is that going up the next 5% would be a real hardship. It'd really create some problems. And, I'd really love to be able to go along with that, but that's just what I know at this point in time, and that might change.
I haven't offered it. Yeah. I mean, it is a suggestion. I didn't make a formal motion.
Right, I understand, and I'm doing this for my own understanding of the issue, because I find, myself at no greater advantage than anyone else understanding the difference. Just as a final question of mine, John, is there anything you want to add on these exact percentages before we act?
Well, I'm like the rest of us in this regard. We want to see this bill passed, and I believe, as Representative Chiquette pointed out, this amendment last year killed the bill. Not this amendment, but the approach of putting in operators, raising the percentage that an operator is required to pay to a permittee. So perhaps for this committee, would make Representative Choquette as well as Representative Donnelly a little bit more easy on this particular amendment. Maybe we should look at making just a change in the percentage on B and C, something that Representative Choquette feels might be more in line, and that Representative Donnelly could also feel comfortable with. Maybe there is a common ground that can be reached there. I think Representative Taylor might have a number. I could throw out a number, but as you pointed out, it's just a numbers game at this point. And to get this thing passed, what do we have to do? Today, we should do it.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I guess basically what I'm saying is when this bill was put together, once again, it was put together with all of the parties in the same room agreeing. And I would like to take Representative Donnelly's amendment and do the same thing. Therefore, if we could maybe get that before the first meeting in Judiciary, we would have an amendment that's going to be supported by all the parties.
Representative Donnelly.
Well, Mr. Chairman, why don't I just suggest we just hold the bill over for another meeting then, and have people talk about this particular amendment and see if we can come up with something. Yeah. Get some more.
I already called the question on the amendment. Motion pending.
Right, regardless of our action on this, we can hold it over. We will act on it, though, because the motion is before us. I think I will take Representative Donnelly's suggestion, and I'll ask our staff if we can find time tomorrow to meet again. I feel real responsible for making sure this doesn't cause any undue delays, and having now had, I think, 6 hearings on the bill, I have a lot invested in it. So, I think we'll Representative Ruffin.
I got a pretty full schedule. I was hoping we could finish up tonight on this, and I support the amendment as it's written, without knowing if the percentages are accurate are the best ones, but I think that should be part of the entire package.
I think I support the amendment as well, and my problem is I don't want to be responsible for doing anything that hurts this bill. I'm trying to take into account Representative Choquette's concerns, and so I'm in a bit of a quandary myself, Representative Taylor.
Call the question on the motion to amend.
Okay, is there any additional discussion on the item before us? Okay, hearing none.
I guess... Mr. Chairman, I'd like to say that I think it's important that this be included at this point because it's going to serve several good functions to include it here. One's going to be a public education function because when it comes out of here, people are going to know it's in there and they're going to be able to give better testimony on it in response to that. I think it's the right thing to do. What should be done here?
Well, the motion before us, any further discussion? Okay, all in favor of the amendment say aye. Aye. All opposed?
Nay.
Okay, it passes 3-1.
It fails. Four people make up a quorum. It takes four votes to pass amendment in this committee. There's seven members of this committee. I just voted against it.
My interpretation of the rules and the rules that we've been operating under has been that it takes a majority of those present.
No, now, it does not. It takes a majority of the committee to pass an amendment.
You're welcome to challenge the standard by which we do with the ruling of the chair here. And I certainly would be, encourage you to bring before us at our next meeting, which I'm going to try to set for tomorrow on this, anything to try to convince the rest of us that the rules we're following are inappropriate. I'm no expert in the rules myself. You've been around a lot longer than I have, and I'm certainly open to...
I'm not trying to be harsh about it. It's just the way that the game's played. It takes a majority of a committee to vote in favor of amending a bill, just like it takes a majority of a committee to vote to move a bill.
And I
the majority in here is four folks, not three.
Based on an earlier issue on a different bill in this committee, I attempted to research it. The conclusion I came to was the opposite. But as I said, if you can find something, I'm certainly myself open to it. Change. And let me suggest this to the committee that I think this issue is an important one. I think this committee's view on this subject of percentages to the nonprofits is a major issue, is what we're all here for. I still am very concerned about Representative Choquette's concerns. If it's satisfactory to the committee, I'd like to hold the bill over till 5 p.m. tomorrow. We'll try to get more members here so we have any broader views there. Representative Taylor is welcome to offer an amendment to rescind at that point. We'll limit the debate and the amendments to this one subject that we have before us.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Taylor, Representative Bruckman, Representative Donnelly.
I move that we rescind our action in failing to adopt amendment number one.
Amendment number one?
Mine.
Oh, I see. The 5-year provision?
Yep. Well, I mean, we're accommodating everybody around here falling all over ourselves.
You're welcome to offer anything you want.
I just did. I put a motion before your committee to rescind our action in failing to adopt amendment number one.
Okay. Is there a discussion on the motion?
Yeah. The discussion is that this is the very amendment that we had unanimous testimony on. There's only one person that I recall who even testified with a qualified concern about this, and I'd like to address a question to Mr. Hansen, and that question basically is, if this thing goes through the House and the Senate and lands on the governor's desk without excluding felons from participation in this program, what do you think the result is going to be?
The question's been posed to me several times, Representative Taylor, and we haven't heard from the governor on that issue yet. I can tell you this. The new administration has given me a personal mandate to get the criminals out of gaming. And I have been working to that extent very busily in the last few months. And I'm going to use the phrase again. I think anything in that regards that this committee would introduce, we would support 100%. And as soon as I have an opportunity to ask the governor's office regarding that issue, I'll do so, and I'll let you know exactly what their opinion of that is.
Thank you. Appreciate that. I'm only asking this committee to follow the
democratic process, which is we've had public input, extensive public input. We've had extensive letters written and everyone else to us on this subject, probably more than any other. And it's been unanimous. And to suggest that we should now be debating percentiles and we should now be debating all of the intricacies of how these gaming processes are to work, that's still either in the hands of criminals, in my opinion, begs the issue that was brought before this committee. That's why we held all that testimony. And I feel that compelled as a representative to bring that forward again in light of what that testimony was.
We did have our longest debate on any subject other than the one previous to this on this subject. Is there any further discussion? All in favor of motion to rescind indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed to rescinding indicate by saying nay.
Nay. Let the record reflect I voted in favor. I was in the name of Representative Taylor. The other members voted opposed to that.
Yes, the record will recognize that. I don't, want, again, on Representative, just on the previous amendment, I don't want people to feel like we've, said some final thing. I myself voted in favor of the previous amendment, Amendment 14, but have admitted that I don't clearly have a picture of which percentages are best, and I'm going to do my best by talking to the department and other incentives to try to understand where we might find some compromise here, because I hope we will have additional representatives in attendance that can shed some light on that as well.
Could the record reflect that I share your concerns?
Okay, Representative Bruckman does as well. Representative Taylor.
Thank you. I move that House Bill 168 be moved from committee with individual record.
Object.
Representative Taylor, you're free to make the motion. It'll be defeated. And at this point, it just doesn't seem productive. We're attempting to try to...
I don't know if it'll be defeated. I want to see the bill out of committee, and I know Mr. Donnelly has major concerns that he can take up in his committee, which is the next committee of referral.
But at the same time, we're attempting to get an additional day here to try to address concerns you've raised on the percentage matter. It's a reasonable concern, and we're admitting we're not, the experts in these percentages. So
I withdrew my concerns and believe they'd be probably addressed at the next committee, where I will again be addressing the felony amendments that can't seem to pass this committee, so we might as well get this thing on its way. The most disservice you can do to a bill in this legislature is continue to hold it in committee and kill it with kindness. And that's exactly what's happening here. Mr. Donnelly has these concerns, and I believe they're very sincere and good faith concerns. He has limited opportunity to address those in his committee. I don't need to attend those any further. If I'm not allowed to place my amendment in his committee, I definitely will be bringing it up on the floor where we can all vote on it again. But there's no reason to further debate percentiles in here. None of us have been apprised of percentiles. We're walking into a whole new area, which is going to take all kinds of new testimony and people coming in and the rest of it. I'm missing two receptions right now, one of which I was supposed to be kind of there for a reason, and I don't intend to have to go through this again tomorrow night. At least I don't want to.
Right. Well,
if he's worried about it, let's let David take it up.
We may find that a different set of legislators attends tomorrow because a different one has concerns. This is a big issue. Our whole committee has heard. I do feel strongly that I'd like to another day. I certainly don't think another day is going to be the death of the bill. We're trying our best to do a good job.
I'll call a question.
Okay, any other comments on the question before us?
What's the question?
Representative Donnelly, the motion before us is to pass the bill with individual recommendation.
I guess, Representative Taylor, I did have a Fifth Amendment that I submitted to the committee. I haven't even had the chance to move yet. And then I did have a proposal that might help somewhat with the felony question, which we had drafted up. I'm going to vote against the motion to move the bill, and then depending on the chair's discretion, I want to move amendment number 5. It's amendment number 15, I guess, or 16 now, and this other amendment. If the chair doesn't want to do that tonight, I will.
We can do it either way. Representative, would you withdraw your amendment?
No, I'd like to have the bill moved out. We'll just take the vote on it. That'll get rid of it.
All in favor of motion to move the bill with individual recommendations indicate by saying aye.
Taylor says aye.
All opposed, say nay.
Nay.
Bruckman, Donald, Finkelstein, say nay. The Representative Taylor, what's your schedule?
Well, my schedule right now is that in light of the my amendment and the failure to rescind on felony and the fact that we're now going to go into additional amendments that are only going to try and water down that same concept, you don't have a quorum anymore.
But we are going to hold the bill over till tomorrow, and we are going to hear at that time the... We'd like to get some of the other committee members but the for those attending, it'll be tomorrow at 5 p.m. We'll have before us well, we may not.
We should finish. I think
we'll figure out sometime. We're going to hold it over till yours is going to take longer than this one. Okay, we'll leave it at 5 p.m. tomorrow. John, you don't have to attend it. We sort of got it down to the point where we know we're arguing.
There is one thing, though, that you need to address.
Well, I
some representative back in the wire title changes. So you either want to add more to the title